Let's stand together and recognize God's word, 1 Thessalonians 4. The clock is ticking. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. You've given it to us to encourage and comfort and strengthen people on the journey they have from here into eternity. So in Jesus' name, let your presence and power by the Holy Spirit reveal truth to us. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And then it goes on to say in the next chapter, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, we should be discerning of the day in which we live. Amen? And we're living in the end of days. Listen to the words of Jesus himself. Matthew recorded them. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples, have you ever been to the Mount of Olives? It's an amazing place to visit. What a place of communion. Amen? And sat at the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return in the end of the world? And Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah. Everywhere around you have religious groups of people who claim to have the inside track or a way to get to God and trying to deceive many into believing that if you just take this road, you'll get there no matter what road you're on. They'll receive many, Jesus said, and you'll hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Then he goes on to say, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. God's not willing that any to perish. Amen. He wants everyone to hear the message and get the chance to choose. I speak about the end times. There are several things I want to share with you and get into this subject. I covered a little bit of this last Sunday. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, which he founded, that in the last days people would cry out, peace and safety. They'll speak of the dawning of an era of peace. In the last days, they will speak of how everyone will want to live in peace and safety, but Paul said, that's not going to be the case. There is no peace without the Prince of Peace. And Jesus said that in the last days there'd be wars and rumors of wars. He speaks of terror in the last days, ethnic groups warring against one another. And we see that now, the Turks and the Kurds and the Syrians and the issues that are going on in that part of the world, that there would occur earthquakes and famine. He said, these are just birth pains, this constant turmoil going on the planet. In other words, just before the baby is delivered, the pain gets stronger, more intense. And he said, before I return, these things are going to take place. Earthquakes will occur more frequently. Wars will grow more frequent. And he gave us the signs in which these last days are going to appear and how they'll look. The last days began 2,020 years ago. The last days began with the ascension of Jesus to be at the right hand of God the Father. That was the beginning of the last days. I believe we're at the end of the last days. I can tell you why we're at the end of the last days. First of all, the Word of God clearly points to the fact that Jesus Christ will return one day. There'll be a catching away of his true blood-bought believers. The church, Jesus' bride, will be taken to be with him for a period of time. And when it's time, a trumpet will sound. Those who are born again, who know Jesus, will literally be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him forever and ever. Matthew 24 speaks a great deal about the end of the age, and Jesus admonishes us that whatever you do, you don't want to miss the great concluding act in God's work with the human race. There's no more time to play church games. We've had an enjoyable run here in America of freedom and liberty, and sometimes that's led to our complacency because we have it so easy in terms of our expression of worship. But those times are changing. And if certain people get their way and have the direction they want for this country going forward, these freedoms are going to be encroached on. These freedoms will be taken from us. You can get so caught up. Just check out all the nations where there is not this kind of religious liberty and find out what it's like to try to find a place to worship God on the Lord's Day. We can get so caught up in making a living, trying to take care of our kids, caught up with all these other priorities, that we can miss the purpose, this church's purpose, what we're here for, what we should be doing here in these last days. Science is showing us that earthquake frequency has increased all over the world, and they're becoming more intense. This is not a time for believers to be afraid. This is a time for believers, listen, to rejoice. Lift up your heads, for the time of redemption draws near. Amen? Jesus said in the last days there'd be plagues and famines and wars. Wow. Leaving Kuwait, flying with the United States Air Force on a C-130, heading to northern Iraq. And we get airborne, and the co-pilot takes over, and the pilot steps over from the bridge and looks down and says, "Hey, chap, you want to ride up here with us?" And I said, "Me?" He goes, "Yeah, you." I said, "Sure, let's go." So I climbed the ladder and up into the cockpit of a C-130 as we're flying over Iraq. And he said, "We have a couple of questions for you." I said, "What are they?" He said, "This conflict here in this part of the world," he said, "This started in 91 when the Gulf War," and he said, "Oh, no, 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 no." I said, "You see this little spot we're flying over here called the Ur of Chaldees?" I said, "It all started back here during the time of Abraham, where he came from. He came out of the Ur of Chaldees. He was born here, and the conflict began with the birthing of his sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And the battle over this territory ensued then and has not stopped and won't stop. For everywhere you can look around, this war is not going to stop until Jesus himself returns to this part of the world and sets up his kingdom. We're in the middle of it, and it's not going to stop until he returns." And my, the questions start flying in the cockpit. And we had a fantastic journey all the way up to Kirkuk. And then, of course, he did his hang on to your seat, because we are going to do a very special dance for you on the way into the airport. And boy, did we have a trip down, dodging whatever anybody might want to fire at us. But this is not a day for the believer to be afraid. We should be thankful to God for giving us some insight as to what is happening so that we're not living in fear. There are signs in the heavens. Every morning, NASA announces yet another asteroid has come very close to hitting this planet. You say, what's that got to do with the end of the day? Well, in Revelation, it talks about a star falling from the heavens and wiping out a third of the Earth's population. We're always now having to be on alert for these stray asteroids that don't seem to have any rhyme or rhythm and seem to be getting awfully close to striking us. We know growing terrorism and threats are always around. And as fast as they're taken down, they seem to regenerate. It's going to take a cataclysmic event to put a stop to terrorism. And the scripture talks about that too. A cataclysmic event that will quell that for a time being and put an end to that. All these are signs that we're living near the end. We've entered what Jesus called the beginning of sorrows. These are the birth pangs that Jesus spoke about. Birth pangs like we've never experienced on earth before, and events will escalate very rapidly. In the year 1900, there were about 1 billion people on earth. 120 years later, we now have over 6 billion people on earth. The growth of populace and the growth of knowledge are pushing us to the end of time. The scripture talks about the growth of knowledge, the rapidity of knowledge increasing, and that's a good thing because science is learning a lot more, a lot faster. Medical science is helping people in ways they could not a decade ago, but knowledge is increasing at a very rapid pace, and that was a predictor that Daniel gave us of the last days. The Lord is speaking today, get your priorities in order, and to get us to stop thinking about eternity, because the enemy would distract us, not think about forever, not think about others, only become self-centered. You see it in a lot of the lifestyles of today. It's time to rediscover our purpose and implement our purpose. That's to have eternity in view and making sure that as many people as we get in contact with know about the love and the mercy and the faithfulness of Jesus. For 6,000 years, human beings traveled by camel, by horse, by donkey. In the last 100 years, all of this technology has brought us where we are today. The speeds at which we travel today are astronomical and amazing. You can go around the world in 24 hours. You can be anywhere on the planet in about 12 to 13 hours. For 6,000 years, you know, people read by candlelight. Now you're reading by LED light, right? It's amazing. But all that tells us is the clock is ticking. The enemy of your life is doing everything to deceive and destroy the human race, take away our moral values, strip away our foundations. The reason he wants you to believe in reincarnation is so that you won't make a decision for Jesus Christ today. It's a great deception, lies, seducing spirits. Jesus said there would be much spiritual deception in the latter days, and that's why you have to know what the truth says. Get in this word. Know what God has to say. The Bible says it's appointed unto man to die once, then the judgment. In other words, you're not going to die and come back again and again and again until you get it right. The word says you're going to live one life, then you will stand before your Creator and give him an account of how you lived out this life. Dr. Lester Sumrall had a dream, and he spoke about it several years before he passed. In that dream, he saw Apollyon. That's another name for the devil in the book of Revelation, the destroyer. He's called by that name in a new DVD movie that's just come out, rendering Pilgrim's Progress for young adults. It's an amazingly well-put-together movie on the life of Pilgrim's Progress, and Apollyon is referenced and seen in that movie. Apollyon appeared to Sumrall in a dream and said, I'm going to destroy America through the medium of broadcast, TV. I will gradually begin to condition people that things they knew were wrong years ago, now they'll be conditioned through the media to believe that now those things are okay. Things that we thought were we shouldn't participate in are now fine for everybody. In the dream, Apollyon says to Sumrall, I will destroy America through the conditioning process using the media. And you know what I'm speaking about today. Because media plays games with truth. Have you learned that yet? Okay? Jesus said that when the gospel is preached into all nations, then the end would come. Why did the Berlin Wall come down? So the gospel could flourish and be shared with people freely. Why did communism have to fall in Eastern Europe? So the gospel could step in and bring people to freedom. Why did Saddam Hussein fall? So the gospel could make its way to be heard among those spiritually blinded to the truth. No small underground churches are now emerging after years of persecution, and they're growing. Satellite dishes have popped up on rooftops. Christian TV is being broadcast throughout the Middle East. This is right out of the headlines. Tens of thousands of Iranians have turned to Jesus because of satellite television bringing them the gospel. We should be thankful, but that's a sign of the spreading of this word in the latter days. So why did apartheid have to collapse in South Africa? So the gospel and the freedom of Jesus could be heard. What about China? There are hundreds of thousands of underground churches under great persecution, yet the gospel is flourishing in China as it is in India and in Africa and in South America. By the millions from every tribe and tongue, people are coming to know who Jesus is because the clock is ticking. Second, God promised to pour out his Spirit on all cultures in the last days. Record numbers of people in these days not only are being born again, but from every kindred and every tribe, they're going to hear and know the name of the Lord. These are the days when God promised he would pour out his Spirit on all humanity. Men and women, sons and daughters, religion historically has bound women. Jesus came to set every captive free. Man, I thought the women would be up on their feet applauding right now, right? Well, good, we got one over here. That's good. How about a second one? Yeah, yeah. Thank God for women, and thank God for the freedom God's afforded them, whereas many religions have kept them kind of in second-class position. Beth Moore had a few things to say about that here in the recent days and months. And so have a lot of others, primarily the Apostle Paul, who had a few things to say about the thankfulness he had to God for the women that God used in ministry all around his life and for the years of his service. Amen? And following Jesus everywhere he went was a contingency of women who helped him and served alongside the disciples. Jesus came to set every race free. Yellow, black, white. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit of God and be filled with God's Word, because we can find our purpose and the truth. This is no longer just about us. Once you've given your life to Jesus, it's about Him and other people. Get the focus off of us. Get the focus onto Jesus and pray, God, use us for your glory. I might not be much, but Lord, I open my heart and life. I want to be used by you in your service. God's bringing every race into his last day church. There'll be representation from every tribe and every kindred and every tongue so that we can bring in a harvest in our community and in our world. And only God can do what I'm speaking about, because many of our grandparents used to worship in segregated churches. But it's a new day. God's doing a new thing. Say, God's doing a new thing. Amen. Jesus said in the end of days that nation would rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, ethnic group battling ethnic group. You're seeing that all over the world in religious groups, Islamic fascists attacking Israel, threatening to wipe them off the planet, and say the same about us, we in the Western culture. The Nazi spirit is a sign of the last days, a spirit of anti-Semitism, a spirit of white supremacy. Listen, these attitudes against the Jews, they're nothing but a sign of latter days. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached in every Arab nation before Jesus returns. There will be a remnant from every tongue and every tribe redeemed. There are Christian stations broadcasting the gospel in Palestine. They have reached into every Arab nation. Arabs are watching Christian television. Some are being born again. There have been now a public gospel meeting and crusade in Jordan and also in the United Arab Emirates. The gospel is being preached everywhere. So why does Satan hate Christian television? Because he believes he owns the airwaves. He thinks that's his turf. He attempts to hinder the message of Jesus from entering nations and entering hearts. He's trying to prevent the gospel from getting into the atmosphere. But technology in this last century has been about one purpose: getting the gospel to all people groups all over the planet. Then the end shall come. Christian television itself is a sign of the Lord's return. Every tribe will hear the gospel. Now, our world is being prepared to receive a new world order. Europe is prepared to receive common currency, common economics. Our own nation has virtually thrown God out of its public education system, God out of as many public arenas as possible. There are schools that promote an atheistic philosophy and don't want our children praying in their classrooms. In fact, in this last 2 weeks, incident after incident of students being ridiculed in their schools because of something they've worn that talks about God, something they've said that talks about their prayer life, and being persecuted even in the public system. But God's doing a new thing among our students today. He's renewing their hearts. If you've got a teen in your house, they need to be involved on our Wednesday nights here. They need to be involved with other students on our campus. God's moving among our students. He's going to use students in these days to bring revival in our community and world. A teen today can hardly get an aspirin in school without public or parental consent. Yet, in some places, they can put in for an abortion without parental consent. They try to prevent praying or saying the name of Jesus in some public arenas, but they're willing to talk about birth control and even make it available to them. It's never been so obvious that we're nearing the end of the age. We need to get our heads out of the sand. The clock is ticking. It's never been so clear in my mind that the whole earth is about to receive judgment and we are going to fulfill our purpose on the planet. We have to have our priorities in place. Must get our minds off of self and what we want and want to do and refocus on the purpose for which God's birthed us into his kingdom. And if we're going to lay up treasure, let's lay it up in heaven where it will last forever. And the word warns people because some would be involved in witchcraft in these latter days. And some say it's okay because it's white witchcraft. There's no such thing. It's prohibited in God's word because we should not be experimenting with demon entities because they will have access to us. Listen, it's the end of time. Third, you can't have peace until you embrace the Prince of Peace, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the risen Christ. People have tried everything else. Why not give Jesus a try? Chanting for world peace is a nice gesture. Parading and trying to promote unity, it's a nice gesture, but fruitless. There is no peace. And there's no question that judgment's coming to this earth, and no one's going to stop it. The only safe place is to be safe in the embrace of Jesus and realize the day you're living in. And you've not seen anything yet when it comes to terrorism. And you better know whose you are when it all begins to break loose on this planet. For many, it will drive them to Jesus. And you don't have to be afraid because God promised, I'll take care of my people. If he's got to send a raven to feed you in the last days, he's going to take care of his own. Evil will increase. But what a glorious time to know who you are in Christ. What a glorious time to fear not and know God is with us. What a glorious time to be in a church with a purpose in this world, not just occupying space. So live your life for the glory of God. And there's no question that God has not given us all the details about the time and the return of Jesus. He's hidden that day and hidden that hour, but he's promised his return and told us, be ready. Be ready. Don't be caught off guard. He could have given us the dates and the day, but he doesn't want us living just any old way haphazardly and then trying to fix it in the final countdown hours of time. He wants us to walk in obedience and faith. He wants us to be passionate about serving him and knowing him, to walk by faith, not by sight. So we trust the Lord with all of our hearts, not leaning to our own understanding. So you don't have to be a Christian to know that the world is in trouble. Leaders are scrambling to find some common ground. How can we work out some of our differences to find a way to unite economically and politically? Of course, that sets the stage for who you know who. Antichrist. The New Agers have rejoiced in this sense of unity, of one world government, a global economy, global government where we're all surrendered to one form of government, a coming new age of peace and safety. But unless you know Jesus Christ, you cannot have peace and safety. Diseases and plagues are growing worse and more resistant to treatment. With the technologies we have, you'd think we would have wiped everything out by now. But diseases that we thought had been wiped away are returning again. Incidences of TB and smallpox and new viruses that have migrated and are antibiotic resistant. Let me tell you, there's something that has killed more people than HIV or diabetes or car wrecks and accidents and two issues and all together under one name called addiction, whether it be people who are addicted to opioids or people who are addicted to other kinds of substance. A smoker today will live on average 10 years less than non-smokers. That's why the doctor will ask you when you make your first visit, do you smoke? Yes or no? Because he already knows what that means related to your life. And of course, they tell you that every time you light one up, it subtracts 7 minutes off your life. So the clock is ticking, isn't it? Yeah, all right? The addict thinks, well, you know, we're going to die anyway, so I might as well die high or die smoking or dying doing what I like. Now, well, you've got a monkey on your back. You're addicted, and you need the help that only God can bring, and you need to get his assistance so you can be free. Fast and pray and make up your mind you're done because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. All signs are pointing to the midnight hour, and the clock is ticking, and all of heaven is in preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb. What are we going to do there at that celebration? We're going to have one ginormous communion service, the likes of which no one has ever participated in before, and Jesus will be presiding at that table. Amen. There, God's church, the bride, will be married to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Understand that the greatest harvest of souls is happening today. It has never been easier to bring people to Jesus than it is today. So use your life to get people ready for that resurrection morning. Open your home to be used for a group to connect, for people to develop relationships. And fourth, Jesus taught you will spend eternity in a palace or in a prison. Where are you going to spend eternity? That's the question of the hour, isn't it? Ready or not, the day is coming for everybody. Now, you might attempt to get to heaven by doing good works. You might try to get to heaven by consulting the astrologer. Not going to get there either way. You can try to get to heaven through good deeds. The New Ager isn't going to get you there either. Well, Pastor, I don't believe the Bible. Let me ask you, what if this Bible is right and you're wrong? See, I've got nothing to lose if I'm wrong about this book. I haven't lost anything. You've got everything to lose if you're wrong. Bad gamble. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So he's the door. And I came here today to throw out a life preserver. You can get everything turned around in your life, everything. And in this day of religious deception, and everywhere you turn, you find it, we need to understand that Jesus needs to be lifted up. He's the only possible way for peace and eternal safety. He's the door. He's the bread of life. He's the way, the truth. The reason that we worship Jesus, we want people to be drawn to Jesus. We preach about him. We worship him because if we lift him up, people will be drawn to him. Amen. He's the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the great I am. He's everything you need in your life. He's God all by himself, and he can do anything but fail. Right. Well, Pastor, I don't believe what you're preaching. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe there's a devil. Some things are true whether you believe them or not. There are some people who don't believe we ever landed on the moon and walked on the moon, and they believe that. Some things, listen, folks, whether you believe it or not, it happened. You better discover truth before it's too late. I'm not speaking about religion. I'm talking about opening your life to the reality that Jesus, God's Son, he came in human form to be a substitute for us, to take our punishment so that we might be born again. Fifth, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I read it to you. In other words, Jesus will return when people are not looking for him. Breaking news, millions are missing around the world. I'm here to tell you that. That day's going to come. And in all probability, it may come in your lifetime. It's later than you think. Priorities better be in order. And just as it was in the days of Lot and Noah, life will appear to go forward as usual, and everybody's doing their thing, marrying and giving in marriage, and thinking evil continually as it grows and develops and gets worse. Then suddenly the church is evacuated. Millions suddenly missing. Empty cribs frighten parents beyond belief. Empty beds will frighten spouses who know they have missed the catching away of the church. I don't want to miss it. Say, I don't want to miss it. So what will you do if you start a new day and realize you've been left behind? Are you ready to face that day? When the gospel's been preached and every tongue has had a chance to hear, the end will come. So, Pastor, people have been saying that Jesus is coming back for hundreds of years, and, you know, I just don't believe it. Well, the scripture says that would be said in the latter days. Where is the promise of his coming? Nothing's changed. Everything's the same. Up until recently, Jesus could not come back. First of all, Israel was not a nation until May 15, 1948. And all the prophets of old foretold that in the latter days, Israel would be reformed as a nation. Israel's return to their land would be a sign to the world of the imminent return of Jesus. Jesus promised it. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know the summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. So Jews are still flooding back into Israel from all over the world. Israel's restoration is a sign to the world of the Messiah's coming to this planet. It's kind of innate in their DNA. And they may not even be aware of why they're going back to Israel. They may have some just kind of surface or human explanations for it. But down deep inside, God has planted a desire for them to know and see and experience Messiah. And I believe many of them are traveling back to their homeland roots because they anticipate the revelation of the Messiah, just like our tour guide did. He goes, I'll just have to ask him, is this your first or second visit when you show up? Because I do believe he's going to show up, right? It serves as a distinct sign. Jesus' return will happen before the generation passes who have seen the restoration of Israel. Jesus will return when people least expect him. He's coming back at the midnight hour. He's coming back, listen, when you're distracted, making money, complacent, apathetic, caught up, Jesus warned, by the cares of this life. It's time to realize the clock is ticking. Did you know, as I looked around, that sometimes I see such apathy among the Western culture church that it's scary and frightening, but I believe there's an awakening starting to happen, that people recognize we need a new and fresh move of the Holy Spirit. And some of that apathy was as recent as the last presidential election, when 54 million evangelicals stayed home. 54 million in the last presidential election, evangelicals stayed home. I'm talking about evangelical Christians, okay? If all the evangelical Christians just decide to get up and stand as one, we become an unstoppable force for good in this country. We all of a sudden can turn this country back in the direction it needs to go. Know who we are in Christ. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Get the shame off of you. Pray with thanksgiving every day. There's nothing to be ashamed of. When you pray, God will speak to you and reveal truth to you. Pray every day and do what he says to do every day. Then keep on sowing seed, helping others, bringing tithe. Give your talent to God's precious work. God said, then I will open doors in your life like you've never seen opened before. Jesus said in the last days, there would be much spiritual deception. Paul said that people would talk about Jesus, but would not know the Jesus of the cross. You can't allow anything to lead you away from the purpose and plan God has for you and his church. Sixth, there's only one who led a sinless life and gave his life as a lamb led to the slaughter. Only one. We're going to celebrate that tonight at his table. I'm speaking of Jesus of Nazareth. There's only one qualified to pay the penalty for our sins. No one else could buy the price of our freedom spiritually. Jesus the Christ paid the penalty for our sins. There's only one who kicked the end out of the tomb and rose from the grave, Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, how do you know which religion is right and which religion is wrong? There's only one who came out of the tomb and declared, I've defeated sin and death on your behalf. Only one. It was not Krishna who rose from the dead. Sorry, it's not old Buddha who kicked out the end of the tomb. And he won't be there sitting on the throne. It was not Muhammad who took the keys of death and hell away from the devil. It was Jesus Christ. Am I in the right church today? Amen. If you don't believe what I'm preaching today, then I've already offended you. But I did come to bring you the truth of the end of days. Amen. How can you escape the torture and the torment about to break loose on this planet? How can you spend eternity with a loving God? That's the big question. And let me say it this way. If the thought of dying frightens you, it's God's way of warning you. You're not prepared to step into eternity. So I'm here today to give you the message that the blood of Jesus Christ, which is God's blood, the blood of God himself, is still efficacious. It still works. It still forgives sins. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. He took your place. He took my place. We deserve judgment for our sins, but he took that judgment in our place. In the last days, people will attempt to follow, well, just positive thinking. If we can just be positive in the way we think. And they'll follow all the philosophies of men, right? They will fall away from their faith by pay attentioning to deceitful spirits and doctrines of devils. And that's why you get plugged into the purpose for your life and plugged into your church and become a part of a group that's connected, because we need each other. We need God's word taught among us so that we all keep ourselves heading in the right direction. Paul also said in the last days, people will say, well, there was never a virgin birth. Christmas was just a big sham. In the last days, people will say, there is no resurrection. I'm here to tell you, you reached me too late because he's already inside of me. He's alive and he's resurrected inside of my heart. He controls my life. Amen. He who rose from the dead is alive in me. Is there a witness in here today? Amen. If I can only accomplish one thing with you here today, it would be to get you to stop and think about the direction for your life. Think about where you're headed in the next life, because eternity is forever. This life is short. Getting priorities in place. Seventh, it's time to quit wasting your life because the clock is ticking. The final countdown is on. And if you plan on doing anything at all or something for the Master, better start today. This is the day. If you plan on singing or playing an instrument for the Lord, it's time to join now. If you plan on giving anything that makes a significant difference in the kingdom for his work, this is the day. The train is about to pull out of the station. You better have your ticket. It's not complicated. It's a simple matter of saying, Lord, I surrender to you. I can't fix the messes I've made, mistakes and choices I've made. I can't undo the penalty for the sins I've committed, because anything that didn't live up to your standard is a sin. So I've got a record, but I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to get it absolved or eradicated or neutralized. I've got no plan for that. I mean, I can try to immerse myself in all kinds of things to try to kind of cover that, but down deep inside, I know there's going to come a day of reckoning, and I'm going to have to give an account. And the big question you're going to ask me is this: what did you do with my son? What did you do with Jesus? I offered him to you as a substitute. He would take the penalty that you deserved in exchange for your repentance and willingness to put me first, and your willingness to let me become the new CEO of your life, to serve me and honor me by choice, if you choose that. Not complicated. I surrender to you. I don't have much to offer you, Lord, but what I do have, I give to you. It's not about being perfect. It's just simply saying, God, I can't make it without you. And walking with him every day and asking him to teach you and show you his ways, because it's later than we think. And we're witnessing events that will bring about the return of the Lord. The people in the land of Israel, they are God's property. So as we were getting ready to land in Kirkuk, I turned to the pilot and co-pilot and about four other people in that cockpit. And we all had our headsets on and we were talking, chatting among each other. And I said, the land of Israel belongs to God. Many nations have tried to obliterate it. It's still here. There'll be one last big war over that land, and it's pretty close to happening. And why we are here as Americans is a part of that plan. You see, 1991, when we arrived, we're here to stay until Jesus comes back. No matter how many people we try to bring home, there's always going to be a need for Americans in that part of the world to fight alongside Israel for freedom. And there's one big one coming yet. It's going to be catastrophic over that land that we're looking at. But God gets the final say, because it's his. He said, I own it, and I'm going to have my people there, and my son's going to return there one day and rule the world from there. Wow, that's amazing, right? It's later than you think. The creator and owner of everything in the universe, including Earth, everything on it, and all of his creation, the creator has decided when the day is he's going to conclude life as we know it on this planet. He's going to take those who love him with him and serve his son. He's building a family for himself. That's what he's tried to do in the Garden of Eden, tried to build a family for himself. We failed him by sinning. Now he's given us that opportunity to start all over again. Second Adam has arrived in the form of Jesus, and now we get a chance to become God's family once again, transforming one day our mortal bodies into the one like Jesus now has. There's coming a meltdown of this entire universe as we know it. And it says he will create a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. In other words, wipe clean from the stain and the DNA of our sinful pasts. I'm grateful for that ahead of me. Amen. A place where sin can no longer enter, a place where no longer is there failure and hurt and pain. Amen. Thank God for that freedom. In the meantime, I've got a journey to complete. So I'm not going to just stand here like some of the disciples gazing up into heaven wondering, are you going to come back right now? No, he just said, stop and get busy and do the work you were assigned and do it with joy and do it with passion until the moment comes he takes us. Amen? So that's the excitement for the church. So stand and give thanks to God for a moment, would you, before we conclude? You might have loved ones unprepared. You need to get a copy of this and get it into their hands because they need to hear the message of the day in which we're living. Help lead them to Jesus. Time is short because the clock is ticking.